Scripture this morning will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. It's Matthew 16, 13 through 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible this morning. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it."
Good morning. Good to see everybody, and it's really nice not to have a blue light in my eyes right now, I must say. As we normally do in the old days, like 3 weeks ago, with the projection cart in the middle. You remember the old days, but yesterday several of us went over to Chino Hills for the annual Chino Men's Day, and I just want to say, brothers, if you haven't been able to go to that yet, put it on your calendar for next year, first Saturday in June. There were about 180, 190 men just praising God together, encouraging one another, getting to meet brothers from all over Southern California who love the Lord. Such an encouraging morning, and on top of that, an absolutely amazing breakfast. I had to get on to Kevin. The line stopped, and he was up about 15 people in front of me. The line stopped, and he was standing there talking, of all things, believe it or not. And I said, "Kevin, come on, talk at the table." It turned out, and to his credit, all the meat was gone. So he was just waiting for the sausage and the bacon. So I totally understand that, and that you were excused for that. And of course, you didn't get any sausage or bacon, right? You didn't get any. You just was waiting for it. But it was just an amazing morning. And I just want to encourage all the brothers, if you can, to be able to make it next time. And in a couple of weeks, as Kevin mentioned, we'll be having the seminar with Ken Wilson. And men, as you leave this morning, make sure you get one of those little brochures. We want to be handing those out to you and letting you know about that. It's going to be a wonderful day, and just a day to be encouraged to grow as servant leaders. This morning, we're taking a little bit of a break, just a one-week break from our study on the Sermon on the Mount to talk about some things that relate to the congregation here, our congregational life and ministries in the church. And elders want to take today and this evening to have some time together to talk about some of the plans that we have for the future and even for the present, and they have to do with being built on the rock. When I was a kid, one of my favorite Bible stories was the building of the Tower of Babel. I just really liked that story. It just intrigued me because, well, first of all, I had a misconception. I thought they were trying to actually build a tower into heaven, like into the presence of God. It took me a little while to figure out, no, just up into the heavens, up into the sky, to make a name for themselves. But the story always captivated me, just to think about this process and trying to make a name for themselves. And it answered some questions for me. Where did all the languages come from? How did people get divided into language groups and into nation groups? And of course, it was such a visual story, even just hearing it. But I'm wondering now if there wasn't a color picture in my Bible or something that kind of caught my attention with the Tower of Babel, because of course when God comes down and confuses their languages, the construction of the tower stops, and he brings that to an end. But later, as I looked at that story, there was something else that struck me about it. It was just amazing when you stop to think about it, that God is looking down on these people who are getting ready to build this tower, who've started building this tower, and basically says nothing can stop them. That kind of got my attention. What is it about these people that nothing can stop them? Because that's basically what God says in the text in Genesis chapter 11. God pretty much says, unless I go down and intervene and do something to confuse these people and to get this work stopped, this work is going to go on to its completion. And it was not in the will of God for the people to stay in one area, but rather to disperse. And I thought, if people can do great things on their own, if people have that kind of power to serve together and to make something amazing happen, how much more when it's by the will and the power of God? when God's behind it, when God blesses it. Here's the text from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all of the earth. And when you listen to that story and hear specifically what God says about this work and about these people, there's some principles, some just general principles in Scripture about God's people working for success, even though here these principles were being put to use against the will of God. But the first thing that God says in his remarks about this work is that the people are one and they have one language. He talks about the unity of this people, and it wasn't just that they weren't divided, that there was no dissension among the group, but that they were in agreement, that they were of one spirit and one heart and one mind. Nothing, of course, undermines the effectiveness of the work of God's people, or any people for that matter, than disunity and divisiveness. And God saw that these people were one. And it's a reminder to us as members of the body of Christ of how absolutely vital it is for each of us to do everything we can to maintain and to nurture the unity of the body of Jesus Christ, to do all that we can to be of one heart, to speak one language, to be of one mind. And it means for each of us, there's so many times we just have to sacrifice our ego or our preference or the way we look at things and to realize that there are others who make up the body of Christ as well. And to deal any time with any disagreement that might come up between us as people, to deal with it in a godly way that makes for peace and reconciliation. To remember what's important and what's not important. These people remind us, in God's word to them, the importance of maintaining the unity that the Spirit of God creates in the body of Christ, and to nurture it, and determine that we'll never do anything to be the cause of strife within the church. It also says, God says, this they propose to do. These are people who share in a dream. And the other versions of the scripture here, instead of the word propose, use the word imagine or plan or purpose. These are people who see beyond what exists at that time, and they have a dream for the future. They have a vision of accomplishing something in the building of this great tower. And we see this every time God's people come together to build. Nehemiah encouraged the people to have a vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Haggai encouraged the people to have a vision to rebuild the temple when it was in disrepair. The apostles were given a vision by Jesus Christ to impact the world with the preaching of the good news. And we as people of God today, we look to God. We look to God for our instruction and our guidance in to understand His concern for us, His mission for us. And we look to Him for empowerment and for understanding. You know, I think back to the past in this congregation, that which was accomplished here in the past. All of it going back 50, 60 years. All that has been accomplished here is the result of men and women of spiritual vision and commitment. And those of us who are here today, one of the greatest ways that we can honor that past is to look to the present and to the future, to imagine again, to have a renewed sense of vision and mission, not satisfied with the past, thankful for the past, and glorify God for the good things that were done, but to realize that there's work to do, that there's still advancing to do for the church at this place. People have accomplished so much, just generally, because they have vision, because they have focus, because they're single-minded. People who are inventors, people who have built corporations, it always starts with that kernel of understanding and vision and focus. How much more can the people of God receive blessing from Him whom we plan according to His will? Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and through Christ Jesus throughout all generations." To propose, to plan, to imagine. And then God said, this is what they begin to do. Yeah, it actually gets down to doing something, doesn't it? If you thought it was just going to be, you know, let's just sit around and have a good spirit among ourselves and dream about the future. No, imagining, dreaming, planning without action is absolutely useless. The people of vision in Scripture follow through with hard work, with perseverance, with a focus on the goal. And as you hear from different elders today and this evening, it's just a time for us to come together as a group, a family, to come together in unity, a time for planning, a time for imagining, a time for marshaling our resources, and a time for building together, to continue the building process that God has called us to do. And this morning and tonight, the elders want to present to you some early stages of a vision for the future, beginning with the things that are going on now, beginning with the good ministries that are already taking place, to support those ministries, to encourage, to edify people who are involved in the work of the church already, and to build on those works, and then together plan for a greater future that will bring honor and glory to God. And in this process, we've talked to a lot of folks involved in different ministries to see, what do you need? How can we help? What can we come along and supply for you that will help you in your ministry? And we want to increase the effectiveness of the ministries of this church as we look at them and evaluate them, and also increase our effectiveness as we reach without the church to those who are lost. In just a few moments, Rod is going to present some of the organizational aspects of this and some information about details and finances. And tonight, we want to invite everyone back. We'll be meeting in the fellowship hall for you to ask any question about the work of the church here, to ask it of the elders, and to have things clarified. Because today is, because of our time, of course, is going to be rather brief. But all of this is focused on building up the body of Christ and on building up the church. And kind of along this theme that you're going to be seeing a lot of in the next few months. Built on the rock. Appreciate the songs that Chris led us in this morning to remind us of the rock. And the scripture of Brandon, the confession of Peter, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter says, or Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church." Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "Jesus Christ is the foundation, the rock, the cornerstone of the church of God." We want in this congregation to build on the rock, bringing God's family and the world closer to Jesus, based on that confession, based on the truth of Scripture that Jesus Christ is that rock. We want to see the church built up more on the rock and focused on the two areas that even that theme mentions. First of all, to build up God's family, to build God's family here on Jesus, on the truth of God's Word. And that means edifying one another, encouraging. It means being devoted to our teaching program and encouraging each other in the Word of God. It means giving us opportunities for fellowship, to connect with each other, to get to know each other better, to serve one another, to serve the people in our congregation who are in need, to just build up the body of Christ here, to bring this body of Christ closer to Jesus, to strengthening the bonds that exist between us, to worship together, to mature, to enjoy spiritual growth individually and as a congregationally, and at the same time to reach out to the world around us, to bring the world closer to Jesus, to bring them to God and to Jesus Christ through the Word, as we share the good news, as we reach out to the lost. This is a goal for us individually, but certainly something that we want to take on congregationally through our ministries, through the mission work that we do, through our benevolence acts, through our just the good works of this congregation. Because we believe that with reliance upon God and with faith in His promises, trusting Him, we believe that through the unity that the Spirit brings and the sacrifice and commitment and perseverance of this group of people, that God will bless us, that God will carry out His work, that God will help us to build up the body and to reach out to the lost, that together we will build on the rock, bringing God's family and the world closer to Jesus. And all of it to the glory of God, to the praise of God, that God's will might be done among us. And we want to encourage everyone in this family, and this is something so many, you're already doing this, but just to continue to encourage everyone to join hands in this work, to be committed to it, and following the leaders of the body here as we build on the rock. And at this time, Rod, if you have some things to share.
Thank you, Richard. We asked Richard to do a kind of a mini sermon this morning. I had my doubts, but he came through. He came through. That was just the intro, he says. Well, we're happy with your presence this morning. Let me say good morning to all of you. And what we want to try to do about, it was in January where 5 additional elders were added and bringing the total to 8 elders here at Newland Street. And we started meeting and we started discussing where are we, where do we want to go, what is our plan, what do we want to try to help the congregation establish and accomplish over the years. And so what we've done is we've gone into an area here, first of all, ministry types. We settled on 8 ministry types that we're going to be involved in, and that you can see on the screen, all the way from administration down to worship areas. Since there's 8 elders, we came up with 8 areas of ministry that we want to work in, okay, and accomplish for this congregation. Now you can see that we're starting off with the administrative. I want to show the responsibilities. Each elder is responsible for a given area, and then a backup elder is in place for that particular ministry. And we're going to start with myself there, who happens to be the oldest and the heaviest, okay? And probably the best looking, all right? But we're going to start there. So I have the administrative area, and Mike Ray backs me up. We have buildings and grounds with Ken Hanvey, and he's backed up by Rick Cole. We have benevolence with Mike Ray, and Kevin backs him up. We have the area of education, which is Jim Angotti, and is backed up by Richard. We go on with the work of evangelism. Kevin, Stan backs him up. We have fellowship programs with Rick Cole. Ken backs him up. In addition, we have the missions area, which Richard has, and Jim backs him up. We have the worship area where Stan and I back him up. So those are the 8 areas that we came up with to establish the ministry. So when you think about these different things that go on here at Newland Street, you know who to contact, which elder is in charge now, and we have a handout for each and every one of you today as you depart. And so we want you to keep that. We want you to bring that with you to the meeting tonight that we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. We also have deacons, of course, who are carrying on different responsibilities. And of course, there's 5 of them, so they have to do more than one area of ministry. And Tim has the audiovisual, the buildings and grounds, the benevolence, and the fellowship area. John Horner has the evangelism, fellowship, and mission area. Jared has the fellowship and worship. Dan has the education and youth. And Robert has the buildings and grounds and fellowship. So all of them are doing the work of the servant or the deacon. And of course, we can't forget our 2 ministers, our 2 evangelists, Richard and Kevin. and their work that they're doing. Now, we have a lot of things going on here at Newland Street, and these are, you can just scan this list of works that these all, our members, are involved in one or more of these types of activities. A lot going on, and a lot of people participating in different outreaches and things of nature. But we have a lot going on here, as you can see. Programs that need to be planned and carried out. As Richard said in his remarks, action is the key, and that's really what we're trying to do. We have outside ministries that we're involved in here at Newland. All the contributions go to some of these outside ministries. We are supporting Dan and Elisa Coker in the Latin American work. We're supporting Simon and Pam Williams in the England work, Nottingham, and then Jose Uribe, a Hispanic ministry in this whole area of Orange County we're taking care of. So we have that part of that work. We have other ministries that we support, and that is the Bear Valley Bible Institute of Denver, the City of Children that we've been involved in Mexico for years, the Manuelito Children's Home, In Search of the Truth, a wonderful TV program that is done out of Edmond, Oklahoma. We support that. We also support the Southern California School of Evangelism in Buena Park. We also help the World Bible School and the World Christian Broadcasting. So these are some of the activities that we're involved in, all of us are involved in, as we do the work of the church here. This has been mentioned several times, but we had previously, as you know, planned to have JJ lead us in a leadership workshop, and he had an accident, fell, broke his wrist, had surgery, and so Ken has stepped in place of him. And he is, of course, from the state of Washington. He's going to give us the profile of a servant leader on that seminar on June 16th and 17th. So all men should just make it an effort to be present for that good work that we're going to do on Saturday. He will be also speaking for us at our AM worship and also teaching the Bible, combined Bible school at that day. He also will be with us in November. When we first planned this, we planned it to have JJ in May and Ken in November, having a couple of activities. And he stepped in. By the way, Ken and JJ have worked together in leadership seminars, so they support one another. And so when JJ couldn't make it, Ken stepped in. He's also already scheduled Building Strong Families. It'll be family-oriented in November. So make sure you're a part of that also and plan, put that on your calendars. Now, what about the financial situation here at Newland Street? We want to look at several things that involve this financial area. And then again, want to emphasize that tonight at 5 p.m., we will all meet in the fellowship, have our worship service, and then also entertain questions and answers, any kind of comments that people have from the congregation. One of the things that we're striving for, and it seems like you can just never do enough of, is effective communication. We need to communicate. The leadership needs to communicate with the congregation. Congregation needs feedback to us. We need to be talking to one another, and we need to be listening to one another. And so this is really what our attempt is, to do this and to be really as open as we possibly can and transparent as we possibly can in what we're attempting to do. So in the area of finance, we look at a 12-month period, and we are looking here at April 1 of 11 through 3/31 of 12, the last record we have on a quarterly basis. And that is where we stand. The contribution of $339, other income $15,000 plus, which is the rental that we receive from the Cassell property next door that we own and have owned for years. And so the total income was right around $354 plus, okay, in the way of thousands of dollars. Now, what we have done is broken down the area of our expenditures into five principal areas: administration, evangelism, good works that we're doing externally, and then good works internally, all right? And maintenance on our property, all right? So these are all the areas where we have spent the money. This is a period of a 12-month run, and you can see that we've spent $359,000. We break that down by percentage. Let me show it to you on a pie chart. 58% is going towards evangelistic efforts of preaching the gospel and reaching out to save souls. That's what we, if we could, we'd love to have that at 90 or 100%, okay? But we just can't. But we're very fortunate here at Newland Street. We have the property paid for, and therefore that number can be 58%. Usually in most newer congregations anyway, the number is flip-flopped, and you kind of have the 80% rule in effect. You have 20% going towards evangelism, 80% going towards maintenance. And so we're very blessed here to have it going, but we want to even increase that if we can. So a recent 12-month actual view from April 1 of 2011 through the 12th, 331-12, that's our position. We took in income of $354,703. Our expenditures were $359,123, so we had a shortage of $44,19. That was the shortage for the actual 12-month period. Now, we are proposing a budget. We went out and we talked to all the eight elders, had input on this, and then talked to many in the congregation of what would we like to do, what would the programs that we want to try our best to support. And so what we came up with was these numbers in these various different areas of what our spending we would like to have. And that nets out to $403,000 when you break it out. Now that is more than our income, of course, but that's what we would like to be able. Some of these are kind of fixed, as you can see, like utilities and the areas where we're pledged to support our missionary efforts and so on. And so some of it we can do something about, others are kind of locked in, they're fixed, and so we have to deal with that. So when you look at it, back to the where we were for an actual 12 months run, it was at 4,400 shortage. But when you look at a scenario that says, okay, what would we like to do for our physical budget for the year 2013? And you come up with the fact that we are forecasting that our income will probably go down a little bit. We're in troublesome times right now with all the recession and everything else. So this is our best forecast at looking at trends and trying to establish what that income will be. We also look at the expenditures of what we would like to spend, the $403,000, and we're coming up $53,000 short. Now the question is, if we do all of these things that we want to do, where do we get this $53,000, okay? You know, where does that come from? Well, let me show you another scenario. Another scenario says, you know, we need to do some work on the parking lot and we need to do some work on the roof. And if we do that, we're looking at $118,000 shortfall. And that's a modest figure. The $30,000 for the parking lot and the $35,000 for the building roof might even be higher than that. So what we're doing is looking at these things that we could do, maybe we have to do in the future, and so on, and when do we do them? So we need to look at our checking and savings, because where's that money going to come from? And so I just want to take you back in time a little bit. As of October 9th, 2002, 10 years ago, this was our position as far as our savings and checking accounts were concerned. We had about $91,794. So that was 10 years ago. What happened? On October 11th, a couple of days after the chart I just showed you, we sold the Garrow Lane property next door that we owned. And that netted us out quite a bit of dollars. And so that was our position, $395,000 in our checking and savings. All right? Now, what is it today? $274,801. So we've spent, out of the savings and checking account that we had 10 years ago, we've dipped into it for roughly $120,000. That's where we've been able to survive and get things done and do the programs we wanted to do. So that figure is a 275, say. What should it be? We're wrestling with that every day. What should it be? What in our own personal savings accounts at home, we want something to, we may have an emergency. What should it be? We may have two air conditioners go out on us. We may have to put in a roof. We may have to repair the parking lot. So there's a lot of things that go on that cause that. But I wanted you to see this. So what's needed in terms of finance? We can increase contributions, but that is tough right now. We know that. We can decrease expenditures, or we can do both, and probably should. So what we have to do is, I liken it until this is a tough act, because it's like turning an aircraft carrier around, okay? It doesn't come easy. They need a lot of water, a lot of space. And so, but we need to work on that. But as Richard mentioned in his comments, after finance situation and in finance and all of these other things that we're dealing with here as a congregation, what else is needed? I would say, first of all, faith on our part. God is with us, okay? And so we need to remember that. We need to have the vision and planning for the future. We need to look out and we need to wrestle with things as they are, but we also need to look to the future. And I asked myself, what would the Apostle Paul say? Well, the Apostle Paul has said a couple of things in the scriptures for us. He said to us in Romans 8:31, if God be with us, who can be against us? Do you believe that God's with us? I do, all right? God is with this congregation, and so we need to remember that. Also, he says in Philippians 4:13, he's talking about himself. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Well, let's put that in the plural. We can do all things here at Newland Street because Christ is going to give us the strength. And so, we're back to the start. And Richard is going to now solve all of our problems and tell you all the conclusion. Richard, take it from here.
Thanks, Ron. I just really appreciate the attitude in the leadership to want to be as open and transparent as possible for everybody to know everything, to ask any question, to be aware of just of all the details. I think that's just so good and so healthy for us as a congregation to be able to talk about things openly, especially as we plan for the future. And I just want to say, personally, for me, it's been such a blessing. Just, it's really been a blessing in my life the last 6 months to be able to serve as one of the elders of this congregation. And I thank God for every shepherd in this church and for our shared desire to see the kingdom of God increase and to build up the church of God. I just appreciate that spirit so very much. And all of us in the eldership here, we long to see the body grow. We long to see it stronger. We long to see it more mature in the faith, growing in peace and in grace and in love. We long to see us growing in numbers and being more effective in reaching the lost. And your leaders are imperfect. We are all imperfect. We're all just striving ourselves to be more like Jesus Christ. But I know that every elder in this congregation not only has faith in God, which is the most important of all, but everyone in the leadership has faith in you and has faith in this family. This is an amazing spiritual family who has shown over decades of years, perseverance, commitment, sacrifice, hard work, creativity, working together, loving the Lord and loving the community. And we're so blessed. We're so blessed to have that kind of relationship. And our prayer is that God will just bind us together and make us more effective to do His will, to really build up His church and to strengthen the body, to teach the lost. As Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I think back to the words that Jesus spoke there in Matthew 16 after that confession of the Apostle Peter, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Death itself, anything, nothing can stop the body of Christ. Nothing can stop the church of Jesus Christ. When that church is living faithfully to Him, God's church will prevail. God's church will inhabit eternity and be glorified in the presence of God. And may we see ourselves as part of that group, part of that community of faith, that nothing can stop God's people when we are devoted to Him and to His service. And may it be said of us today, may this be said of us, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. That is, if it's in keeping with the will of God, if it's in keeping with the blessing of God, know that God is still alive and working through us and longs to see His name glorified in this community and in this community of faith. And may each of us join hands in that work in whatever capacity we have. And as you're just hearing today, just thinking about our life as a congregation, our future as a congregation, reaching out, building up within the body of Christ, you may be thinking about your own life and saying, you know, I haven't been doing a very good job of reaching out. I need to make a greater commitment to that. Or, you know, it's time for me to kind of get off the bench and get into the game and to be a part of the body. It's time for me to step up as a man of God or a woman of God, as a young person in the community of faith, and to know, to let the church know I can be counted on. I want to be active. I want to serve with those brothers and sisters who are serving so hard. Maybe you're looking at your life and you realize that you could do a better job of building up the unity of the church, of really strengthening the bonds that we have. If there's anything that you and I need to be doing today in ourselves and toward one another, let's commit to do that. And if we need prayers for help in that, then to ask the church for those prayers. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian today, we invite you to come to Christ, to come into this body of Christ, to come and dream with us and plan for us and build with us. But it starts with your confession. It starts with you saying what Peter said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To put your faith in Him, to give your life over to Him, to bow your knee to Jesus Christ as Lord, to turn from your own ways, to turn from the sin in your life, to be reborn, to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit as you're baptized into Jesus Christ, to begin life, your life, built on the rock of Jesus, built on the foundation that Jesus is the Christ and His Lord. And if there are any among us today who need to respond to His invitation, we invite you while we stand and while we sing.